Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West, West, West.
Issue number 12.5. Oh, man. And our preteens here at Capes and Scowls West, almost hitting puberty here, so,
guys,
you know.
I got $10 yesterday. Pretty sure I'm going to go get me some magic cards. My mom's
Yeah?
Did you get it from mowing the lawn?
No, I had to take out the garbage, though.
Man, that's a good rate for taking out the garbage. Holy crap.
I know.
Whatever, my parents are way too cheap. They're like, here's a quarter. All right, thanks, Mom.
Yeah. I had to mow the lawn, wash the car, sweep the house, vacuum, do the dishes.
Did you get a buck
also
50?
Make dinner. And I got $5 a week. So, you know, or every other week, I guess it was. So, you know, that was what it was. But, you know, here we're kind of going through a little, some changes.
I'm really worried. Is my face going to change? Am I going to get pimples? Is my voice going to change? If it gets any deeper, guys, no one's going to know I'm a female anymore when we talk.
I think that'll be apparent, Kat. I'm sorry.
You know, I tried.
Anyway, so I'm going to hop into some reviews here. We got, I'm going to do a quick four-issue blitz. So, Paper Girls, number 16, Brian K. Vaughan, Cliff Chang, killing it back from a three-month hiatus.
Was it that long?
Yeah, it was a couple months of a hiatus. Thank you very much for coming back into my life. Amazing, still killing it. Rocket Girl, Amy Reeder, Brandon Montclair. You know, I was kind of tentative about this series until I found out that this was basically the last issue.
What?
So number 10 limited series, crazy twist ending that I did not see coming at all. Basically, like, your idea of what a main character can be and, you know, plot armor, totally destroyed plot armor. Rural City, number 6, Jeff Lemire, doing everything. Thank you very much, Jeff Lemire. Also back from a hiatus. Image Comics, shout out to you real quick. Thank you for, just letting people do hiatuses. It's really needed and awesome. Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, number 25. I love this comic so much. We get to see Squirrel Girl use her knuckle spikes for the first time in 25 years since they were introduced.
She has knuckle spikes? What
I know,
she,
right?
Gangster? I don't even know. Was she a Russian mafia?
So they were introduced to when she was introduced as a character, and they addressed that. They're like, well, you're fighting a dinosaur Ultron. So, yeah. So you might as well use
knuckle spikes.
It came out in the first issue she was in, literally never appeared ever again until this issue, and she basically says, like, yeah, you know, I don't really have any need to go around stabbing people all day, so I don't really use them. Amazing.
New
Dinosaur
ridiculous.
Ultron. If you're not sold on that, then I don't know why you're listening to this podcast.
I think knuckle spikes might be overselling what was in this.
But that's why I said Dinosaur Ultron.
That's true. Dinosaur Ultron.
That's what he led with that. God,
sorry. I was looking through the artwork. I can't help it.
Also, a Squirrel Girl riding a pterodactyl to fight a T-Rex Ultron.
With spikes, mind you. So she has, not only does she have knuckle spikes, she now has a pterodactyl that she's riding into battle. Like, I don't know, what do you say? You can't say hi-ho silver, what do you say, hi-ho bronze?
So Ryan North, the writer of this, wrote a comic called Dinosaur Comics for a while, and he was saying in this issue, that was like a joke that he was making, he's like, I'm surprised it took me this long to write a comic with dinosaurs in it. Anyway.
That's awesome.
Done. Alright, Nat, Kat?
I think I'll go next, since we started, I'm hoping yours is better than mine, because for about 2-3 minutes here, or actually, this will be 30 seconds of anger! So much anger! So much nerd rage in one area! DC Bombshells United! We're done! Like, so over it. They didn't change the artist. Like, I'm not saying that the artist is bad. I'm not saying at all, by any means, that this artist is bad. It's just, when you think of DC Bombshells, our gentle viewers, do you think, hey, cartoony, they all look 10? No, you think vintage-style 1950s pinup-looking characters. Correct? Correct! And they're using the same artist that they did when I got all freaked out. And I was like, wait, they changed artists halfway through? What? I'm still the same artist. And I'm not saying that this person's artwork is bad. It's just for DC Bombshells. No. Like, use somebody different, please. Like, for the love of God. Not this person.
We have talked in the past of art not matching the story.
Like,
so.
this artist could be, like, something for, like, Justice League. Just not this.
Not that.
I was so excited at the original artist because it was that still, it was a different, I think it was a different artist, but it was still kind of grainy and it was still kind of like that. I think as you put it to me, that cheesecake 1950s that I liked, and now I'm like, I didn't even read it. I'm just mad at the art.
Couldn't even get there.
No, I couldn't even read it. I was so mad. All right, so moving on from my rage. Let's jump into Falcon number one. So I haven't read Generations, but the little tidbit that I got from Pat about the fact that he gives up being Captain America because he believes essentially that Captain America, Steve Rogers, has lied to him for years. And so in his mind, he's walking away from that and he's going to be his own hero again, which I totally get, totally understand to like my own extent. I will say this, if you're looking for a lighthearted, I don't want to think, I just want to enjoy whatever story I'm into, don't read this. Like, I'm not saying that this is a bad comic, but if you want to think about issues and you want to think about, you know, race inequality, stuff like that, pick it up. It's all for you. For me personally, when I read, I kind of want to be in a different planet, not in this one. So,
gotcha.
But it was a good story. I mean, I don't know if you've read it yet.
No, I haven't picked it up myself. That's one of the things I do love about the Falcon stories, though, is like, it is probably like Kat was saying, one of the most like heavy Marvel, consistently heavy Marvel titles.
Every
like,
time. I can believe it just from reading this first one.
Socially, politically.
Oh, yeah.
It's just basically like, America is racist, and here's a comic about that.
So, the one thing I will say, though, is like, this is like completely off the topic of how heavy it is. So, like, in the middle of like the fourth page in, was the fourth, like, relatively early in the series, it's like, this is it. You're Marvel's value stamp. And I'm like, I'm reading something.
Oh, yeah.
And you're, what?
Yeah,
like,
Marvel.
I mean, this isn't a bad, it's like not an advertisement, but it's like, I don't care. I'm busy. Like, completely off the topic.
The value stamps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have one too then. So yeah, I was just like, and it's like, collect all 53 or something. I'm like, I don't care. I'm reading the comic.
I think it's the stuff that's part of the legacy event. So
it is. That's what I'm assuming it is. And so I was just like, thanks. And I kept kind of reading. So I can appreciate the fact that he's in Chicago and he's trying to stop gang violence and stuff like that instead of the normal hero trope, which is I beat the shit out of you and throw you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and his whole point to that is it's like, you know, we don't have a good education system. We don't have the right qualities for everybody, or the right, you know, equals for everyone. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, as it was a good story for me, it's just hard for me to want to read about that stuff when it's always in my face at all times every day. And there's those moments where I just want to escape. So for me, it's harder for me to read this kind of stuff. If you enjoy that kind of thing and like that consistent kind of thinking, pick it up. You're going to love it because of the way the things that are talked about in this comic. But
awesome.
For me, it's kind of like, I see it every day. I hear about it every day. I want 20 minutes of escape from it. So
awesome. Well, what do you got for us, Nat?
I have something that's completely the opposite end of that spectrum.
Awesome.
It is A Tomahawk Number Zero by Donnie Cates with art by Ian Betterman is what I'm going to say his last name is pronounced as.
Sure.
So this is a really, really weird comic book because of its genesis. It's basically Donny Cates and his tattoo artist. And after, you know, going to tattoo sessions, turning the artwork from tattoos into a comic book about the Psy Berserker and his Atomahawk, an ancient gladiatorial axe. Throwing axe. Yeah, this book was a blast. It's completely ridiculous. It feels like a one-off. This was out of Heavy Metal, actually. This was a three-part series that was in a few issues of Heavy Metal. But yeah, it's crazy classic tattoo art, but in this science fiction Kirby threw up a tattoo setting. Mm-hmm. Like it's amazing. It's totally fun. It's
I didn't know that Kirby throws up tattoos. It
right, exactly. You should have a lot of respect for Jack Kirby anyway.
Well, yeah. That's what I said.
You just go to a tattoo session with him, and right? He just like sticks two fingers down.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, like that looks like a Heavy Metal album cover, you know, from the 1980s.
It definitely does. It's
like, oh my god, do they have like tiny shields in the background,
like
King
Crusaders.
Arthur?
Yeah. So
yeah,
this is a crazy. I mean, this is just to sit down and have a laugh and just enjoy the insanity and, you know, where stories can come from. They really can come from anywhere. And you know, the genesis of the book being what it was. Just really interesting. It's got really awesome, you know, imagery that's really pushing the envelope. And there are things that are happening in the background that you're like, whoa, what the hell is going on? I won't go into details because there's like, yeah, there's some stuff. This is, aside from people getting chopped in half, there's some mature stuff in this book. So, yeah. So,
other mature things aside from that?
Violence, language, nudity.
Nudity? Oh my god, are we allowed to read these guys? We're only 12
and a half. I got that copy snaked out, you know, it's all good, yeah. Our connections.
I hid it under my mattress from my mom.
Right? I just kept it in the same bag that I have my Powerpuff Girl comics.
Dude, you'll never know. I tried it with the Samurai Jack one. My mom looked right.
Samurai Jack was pretty violent. that first one.
She's just like... No. Yep. She's like, let me see the rest of the film, Mom.
So I just have to say, I totally was that kid that in class, I had like a book inside of my history textbook.
Oh, nice.
I was absolutely 100% that kid.
I was just the one doodling in the background. So that's like, yeah, written inside of books.
Well, good news is, guys, I'm still the good person because I was totally taking notes the majority.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that you did good on the test.
Yeah, this was just really fun. It's an exploration of art. I mean, even the panel design is, you know, coming from somebody who's not in the comic book realm normally. So, yeah, really, really cool
idea.
Do you
see any of like that of him like learning as he goes along in the comic?
A little bit, yeah.
As the panels go along, or
no? I mean, it's really like it's an explosion of ideas, and really that's how it's done. It's going to be part of the Image Plus, which is actually. When you buy the previews book, Image Plus now is going to be free as part of that. So they're going to continue the story in that. So
hopefully
that'll
cool.
get a really sweet collected edition, just like Here Comes Negan did. So yeah. So yeah, pick up Tomahawk number 0. It's a really fun read. It's an oversized book. It's a fun one to show your friends. But with that, I am actually going to have to depart and, you know, got adulting to do, and we're running a little long, so enjoy the other reviews. Bye, guys.
Yeah. Oh, no. All right. Well, take care, Nat. We'll see you in a couple minutes.
You're right.
So, just got a couple more reviews, yeah. I guess, we're going to go through while Nat goes off to his job.
His real adult world.
Yeah, his real adult world. So, I'm going to do a quick blitz here through 3 comics right now. First, we got The Unbelievable Gwenpool. Number 21. So great, amazing, still killing it. You got random ass villain Paste Pot Pete coming into the mix, who she grabs and throws him into nothingness outside of the comic, and he no longer exists basically. So her powers are definitely like coming and manifesting themselves.
Pretty
in
sure
weird
she's
ways.
Just like. I don't want to call her God of the comic world, but Jesus seems more befitting.
She, if her powers continue to develop like this, she's basically going to be God of, like, the Marvel Universe. God wears pink and has guns, apparently.
I'm in for this God.
Yeah. Also, the first page of this is probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Guy walking into subway station, sees 1,000 snakes, turns around and just says, nope.
I mean, that would be my reaction. That's a human reaction.
Yeah, that is a human reaction.
Besides the lack of screaming.
Yeah. So amazing. Gwenpool still killing it. Miss Marvel number 23, new storyline. It's awesome. She meets her cousin comes in as a, not cousin, this guy she met when she was in Pakistan is now a foreign exchange student in her school. Everyone's all jazzed because he's the new superhero in town. She questions what the meaning of life is with, like, when everybody thinks you're old news, basically. And she's only been...
like, that is a serious jump. Where did the meaning of life come in?
She's only been around for, you know... a little over 30 issues at this point.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden a new guy comes in and everyone's like, hey, Red Dagger, you're awesome. Oh yeah, Miss Marvel's here too.
That's neat.
Yeah. So moving on, new Superman, also still killing it. Jean Yang, I love you so much. Please come on our podcast and talk. This opens up with one of the most, I'm surprised DC Comics actually let you do this, Jean Yang. It opens up with Slam Bradley, who is OG Detective Comics. He's the first detective in Detective Comics, basically in like 1930s art style, beating up racist.
I was gonna say, like, one of the most racist things I've seen.
Yeah, this was actually in the comic, though, in Detective Comics back in the 30s. Him actually beating up these.
That surprises me.
Yeah,
though.
These, like, as New Superman calls them, yellow goblins. And then it quickly flashes into new art style where this guy is just punching the crap out of regular people on the street, like regular Chinese people on the street. Amazing. So amazing. I love Eugene Yang. And that's it for my quick dash.
All right. So I guess it's kind of my moment to shine a little bit with our quick dash. I'm probably not going to be as good, but we'll start off with Harley and Ivy meet Betty and Veronica. I'm just saying, everybody gave me so much crap for being so excited about this. I'm sorry. Like, after watching Riverdale, I'm, like, all about that Betty and Veronica, man. Like, especially, like, the Veronica and Riverdale, like, mm-mm. Anyways, but besides that, like, I think it's amazing. I was kind of sad, though, that Amanda Connor didn't actually do all the art for it, because I love her Harley Quinn and Ivy. Or I love her Harley Quinn, honestly. I don't know if Ivy ever showed up, but just on the cover with Archie and everything, like, I love Amanda Connor's Ivy. Like, I didn't just, like, can this be in the comic? Okay, it's not offensive that it's not.
So aside from the cover being awesome, was it worth a read?
Oh, totally. It was hilarious. Like, I'm sitting in the middle of my living room floor reading this, and you just hear me snickering to myself. Just, like, with the little things that come in. Like, the most ridiculous crap happens to even bring them into Riverdale. And it's just, like, and the fact is, like, I will give you one quote that'll just tell you, why are we retro? And I'm just like, yes! And then, of course, you run into Betty and Veronica, and they're kind of standing to each other, and they may look alike. So, I would give it a read. Pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gotham City Garage is a new series by DC that's based on their collectibles. And I remember, actually, because I got the variant cover, I remember this Wonder Woman statue, and she's on a motorcycle, and I thought it was the most badass thing I've ever seen. So basically, Gotham City...
Because Wonder Woman needs a motorcycle, right?
Hell yeah! What woman doesn't need a motorcycle? So Gotham City Garage is pretty great in the fact that, just from reading it, it's basically, like, DC ladies get a biker gang, and I'm like, I'm totally in! And, of course, you find out in the very beginning that they live in a world where Lex is basically in control to the point where he's actually mind-controlling people. Like, they're forced, they're like, they're always saying things like, Lex loves you, stuff like that.
Mm.
And so Kara, Supergirl, she is actually raised by Jim Gordon.
So okay.
It's a pretty interesting read. It's kind of weird seeing, like, that father-daughter relationship between Kara and Jim. It's a little odd to watch, because I remember reading, I'm like, this is weird, but it's interesting. So I would say give it a read. I'm definitely going to pick up number two. I'm definitely excited to see what comes. So,
okay.
Now let's talk about God Complex we'll try 30 seconds. It's basically Greek gods in our world, but people still believe in the existence of one god. And then, of course, the Greek gods.
And how is this different from fans who read Wicked and Divine?
I haven't read it, so I don't know. I can't tell you. But it's just the fact that it doesn't, like, they're not actually gods. They're called the elite. They rule the world, basically, because they can do more than regular humans. The first one you run into is Hermes, and Hermes is always a lower god anyways. He hasn't really run into the bigger ones like Apollo and Zeus, like the big Greek gods. So his first interaction is with Hermes, and it's fairly interesting. The main character, I believe his name is Senka, he's a very closed off guy, and he doesn't question everything, but he has doubts in everything, if that makes sense. So it's an interesting read. Like, the beginning part, you kind of learn that the fact of how closed off he really is, you see a little bit into his past, and then you have Hermes, who's kind of goading him the entire time, telling him, you know, hey, this is what I can do. He shows him what he can do, and that's when he's like, you know, the basis you get from this comic is, if there are people like this in the world, why do I exist? There's a lot of metaphor into the one percenter mentality with this, I would honestly say, me personally, but I would say I'm going to keep reading it. It might be the one that I deal with the heaviness, because I love Greek mythology, so I'm just like, yes, more.
Awesome.
All right.
That sounds really interesting. Speaking of god complexes, I have Eugenic, number one right here. This is just a three-part series from Boom. Awesome. Like, I didn't really know what to expect going into this with a comic called Eugenic. But it is basically that. So, quick rundown of the story. Spoilers, obviously. There's a huge, crazy virus that kills, like, most of humanity. This one scientist guy comes up with a vaccine. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. Turns out that his vaccine was basically, like, a gene-altering thing to, in his words, cure, like, all the problems of humanity, like,
Does he define, like, personality traits as a problem in this as well?
So he does, actually. Okay. So one of the, so basically, like, one of the things about this virus is that women can't have children, like, everybody becomes infertile, basically, and so, like, the first baby that's born is this ridiculously crazy, like, monster thing that, so he says that's all part of his plan to basically make humans, like, smarter, stronger, faster, and one of the big things that it is that all the humans that are born now will look different from each other. No humans will look the same, and this is basically, like, his cure for racism. If everybody looks different, then there can be no, like, bullying.
I like to point out the scientist has, like, gauges, and for some reason, I don't know why, but, like,
oh yeah, no, actually, like, the representation of him, like, him, like, and his husband together, like, they're talking and stuff in earlier things about, like, what he's doing and basically playing God and stuff like that. And how he's basically, like, a white supremacist, just, like, trying to change, like, the whole world in the image that he thinks is fit. So, yeah, definitely a pretty light read, you know, if you're looking for something nice to escape from the world in.
He's lying to you already.
No, I'm kidding. This is incredibly heavy. And so the next issue is supposed to take place, I believe, like, 200 years in the future, so it'll be interesting to see where this goes. Three-part series, I can't imagine, like, what they are going to be able to fit into it, but it's already amazing. So, Eugenic.
I'm horrified looking at that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not for the faint of heart. Anyway, what do you got for us as a last review, Kat?
I got Mr. Miracle number 3. So far the series has been amazing. I loved it. I mean, it's another one where I'm just kind of like, it makes me think about, you know, not real, it makes me think about real life, we'll be honest. I'm like, not my life, but real life. I love the fact that they keep sticking with that 9-panel theme.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one, 9 panels. And it's, I love the artwork in it. It's beautiful. And I mean, the fact that there's not much that goes on in this issue, I mean, there is a lot, but in comparison to the other two issues, like, there's not a whole lot But it's still it's still haunting. It's still making me cringe. Like, everything is just spiraling out of control.
And this comic, you haven't read it yet, is basically 9 panels for about 20 pages of depression.
Yeah, pretty much. And
it's
like
literally the embodiment of depression.
Like, I'm like, everything is spiraling for Scott. And I'm not sure, like, when it's all gonna make sense, and when I'm positive what exactly is going on at all moments in time. And I'm not sure if it can get any worse, but I'm pretty sure it can, because so far I thought that the last 2 issues, and I was proven wrong for a 3rd time. I'm like, it can't get up, yep. It can't.
Yeah, basically as he sits on the couch and drinks a glass of milk as his, like,
as he watches someone get annihilated in front of him.
Like, somebody who he knows intimately get just vaporized.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
and he's just drinking his milk.
He's like, well, even the first, like, 2 pages, just reading, or I'm sorry, 3 pages. No. Yeah. I guess technically you reach into 4. But those first pages, I'm just like, how can someone in such a brightly colored costume be so depressing?
I know, right?
And that's kind of what I've hit with this series. It's just like, it's so good.
How can
good.
Someone in a brightly colored costume be so depressing?
Yeah, how can he just be
That's
everything?
A good summary. That's a good summary for the series so far.
Like I said, I'm not sure how it can get worse, but I would definitely look into it if you haven't looked into it yet, so.
Okay. Well, on that bright chipper note,
yeah,
I think it's time to say goodbye. So with that, bye.
Bye.